As the snow clears, Washington will be getting back to business tomorrow morning, and that includes the business of trying to revamp Social Security. The most controversial of the reforms being debated is President Bush's proposal to allow workers to invest part of their Social Security taxes in private stock and bond accounts. NPR's Jim Zaroli talked to economists around the country about the pros and cons of private Social Security accounts.
President Bush says that letting workers invest some of their Social Security money in stocks would help close the projected shortfall in the retirement system and also benefit individual Americans.
The younger worker would gain a rate of return, which would be more substantial than the rate of return of the money now being earned in the Social Security Trust. And over time, that rate of return would enable that person to be have an account that would make up for the deficiencies in the current system.
The proposal is based on an idea that has become dogma to many investors. Over time, nothing provides a better rate of return than stocks, not bonds or real estate or commodities. The idea was popularized by Professor Jeremy Siegel of the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School of Business. He says if you go back to the early 19th century, stocks have grown by 6.5 to 7% on average every year after inflation. These days, Siegel is hedging his bets. He says, with the population aging, stocks may not do quite that well.
Picture the situation. You have all the baby boomers are going to be selling their portfolios, trying to fund long retirements. And there are not enough workers with enough income or wealth to absorb the stocks and bonds. Who's going to buy them?
Siegel says with fewer buyers than sellers, stocks can only grow more slowly. But he says investors in fast-growing economies like China and India should help pick up the slack, and that means, he says, stocks should continue to outperform other investments. The question is how much workers could expect to earn with private accounts. Some economists say even if stocks perform best over the long haul, there are still periods when they can be a poor investment. One of those economists is Gary Burtless of the Brookings Institution.
From the end of the 1960s to 1982, if you invested in the stock market of the United States, you probably lost money. Over that 13-year span, the stock market had negative returns after figuring the effects of inflation.
Burtless says that means that if people are unlucky enough to stop working at the wrong time, their retirement funds could be smaller than they expect.
My primary concern is that this plan introduces, I think, a substantial amount of additional risk in the retirement income of middle-income and lower-income workers. And in the discussion that I've heard in the public so far, that extra risk does not seem to be very widely recognized.
To proponents, this problem can be addressed by limiting private accounts to very young workers who have time to ride out any downturns in the market. But what happens if workers want to invest their money in risky stocks? President Bush says the government would have to impose what he calls serious guidelines on the way people invest their money. But Lawrence H. White, an economist at the University of Missouri at St. Louis, warns against placing government restrictions on people's investment options.
It seems to me that that leads in a dangerous direction where the Social Security Administration now has a big clout in the stock market, and then the fortunes of companies rest on whether the Social Security Administration wants to invest in them or not.
And he says that would inject a dangerous new element of politics into the financial markets. In fact, Congress had that very concern when it established Social Security. That's why it required the Social Security Trust Fund to invest any surplus money it had in government bonds, the safest and least partisan form of investment. Jim Zaroli, NPR News.